Good morning and welcome to the Project Door radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday. A person can learn nothing except by going from the known to the unknown. We can all relate to the experience of zoning out when we come across or hear something we already know. If we think we know something, we stop paying attention. We stop learning. This is why Zen encourages beginner's mind, an open, curious, and inquiring attitude that is receptive to possibilities. When we're present, we could say we're omniscient. I recently came across omniscience defined as knowing everything one needs to know in the moment that it needs to be known. This is the knowing of the unknown, the accessing of the database of intelligence in the here and now. Now contains all the information that we need, and when we're here for it, we're alive in the knowledge of it. Today, bring an attitude of not knowing to a routine activity and learn something new. Record and listen. Sherry?
Yes, we can be omniscient.
Yes, we can.
How exciting is that? Who would have ever thought that was going to be possible? But now we have the way.
Yes. All right, shall we hear from our first caller?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, dear.
First caller? Okay, I guess not.
Second caller,
you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Brad in Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
Hello. Where do I start?
Ashwini, I'm really having trouble hearing Brad. Are you?
Yes, I could barely. Brad, all we can hear is some crackling.
Okay, I'll have to call back on a landline. Sorry, I appreciate it though. Thanks.
All right. Okay, well, we're having a devil of a time with technology. Here we go. Our next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Hey, Catherine.
I love this whole not knowing. And what I'm kind of looking at is noticing kind of impulse isn't the right word. Maybe being pulled in a certain direction that feels like, gee, this just feels right. Not in the head. It doesn't seem right in the head, but it just feels right. And then being willing to explore that or go with it feels like it takes a lot of courage. So I don't know what this is. It's feeling right. It feels authentic. And there's just, you know, a lot of doubt coming in, you know, mental in the mind. Mm-hmm. And so there's this kind of this place of not knowing. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know if I'm. Yeah.
When you lay it out like that, do you, so the first one is a sensing,
mm-hmm.
right? Just a kind of a feeling. There's not a lot happening in the head. It's just this feels like a direction to go in.
Yeah.
And then the head kicks in. Well,
yes.
I don't. So now when I reflect it back to you, do you suspect
Right. And then, yeah. And then, and the direction, I'll just give you a brief example. It might not be that clear. And so I guess it would, I'm not sure, okay, how do I go in that original that initial direction, that sensing? It's not clear. You know, I know, okay, yeah,
however,
there's conditioning
however.
Coming in with all these doubts and whys and wherefores and how not to
okay.
and all that. And
so
and
if you don't indulge that, the way will be clear.
At some point. It may not be clear immediately, but it will be clear.
Yes, and probably immediately. If nothing else, the clear way is not going up into your head to indulge all the yammy yammy.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
that, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and it's so, when we talk about, you know, the known and the unknown are doing the, you know, doing what we maybe do every day, but do it from a place of not knowing. So it's just, yeah, it's really like, okay, I am completely, it feels like I am completely in unknown territory here.
Well,
and
Catherine,
it takes a lot of faith. Yeah.
Catherine, no, it could. But the unknown territory is ego. That's what's having the experience of this is unknown. Only the ego thinks that it knows. I don't think it actually thinks that, but it acts as if or talks as if it knows. So you go up into conditioned mind in order to go about in the world, and there's a sense of knowing, of being in control, because there's an identification with ego, which is the illusion of knowing and the illusion of being in control. So that feels comfortable for people. It may be scary, it may be anxiety-producing, it may be upsetting, it may be depressing, but it's known, in quotes.
So the confusion and kind of the scrambling to see the clear way is just more conditioning.
That's exactly right. It's just ego trying to get attention.
And pretending that I need to figure it out and get clear.
That's right, because that will put you in conditioned mind in the realm of ego. And you don't. The thing that we need to get, really get, at first intellectually and then experientially, is that we never know. You know, it's like believing a lie and believing that believing that lie gives you some kind of truth.
Okay.
So it's
yeah.
being completely lost but believing you know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like to be identified with ego. So ego doesn't know, and conditioned mind doesn't know anything. It doesn't have it. It's just ego's happy when we're identified with ego because it's getting all the attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So nothing has changed. Dropping the ego doesn't change anything except for ego. Doesn't change a thing for us because we've never known. We've always been without control. We've always been wherever we are with whatever is happening. That's always been the case. It's just that conversation and conditioned mind makes people believe something different. So the fact that we believe something that's not true just means we're believing something that's not true.
So it just dropped in that I'm still trying to figure out the right way.
That's right. That's exactly right. So this will be posted, and you can listen to the conversation, and you'll hear that really clearly. You'll hear the difference in just being here and then looking to conditioned mind to figure it out.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Exciting. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Sherry, I'm unable. Catherine, I'm unable to actually mute you. So, if you would mute yourself, that would be very helpful.
There she goes.
There we go. Okay. Well, here it is. That was just such a wonderful conversation, right, Sherry? Because I project that when we encounter something like the unknown, we try to figure that out, right? What is the unknown? Which is the same thing as trying to know. But if we are in the moment in awareness, awareness is aware of everything in the moment, which is all the knowing, the unknowing is that's being described. You can't pin it down. You can't define it because the moment you do, you've left and it's no longer true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the knowing of conditioned mind. What is being pointed at, I project, from is awareness.
Yes, yes, exactly. And if we want to differentiate in those ways that we like to do that are meaningless except fingers pointing at the moon, for the heart, that is a joyful experience. That's that feeling that we have of, When we step into a sensing of awareness of awareness. So all that's happened is we've stopped identifying with ego for a split second. And we go into that mystery, magical place, right? And then here comes conditioned mind scrambling in to identify it, figure it out, label it. What does it mean? What do I do now?
Yeah, so we're going for that recognition.
Yes, yeah, and it's a spiritual experience. And and we all know in one of our more lucid moments that there's no possible way of pinning it down. Mm-hmm. There just isn't. It's that thing that we've talked about before where the reason most of us, or I would say all of us who are hanging in with this kind of thing, love quotes is because we have that moment of recognition, right? Now, then, if we go to conditioned mind to figure out what that means, we can't do that because it doesn't mean anything. It's a recognition of reality.
A recognition of reality.
Does that seem so?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And it's the thrill of the recognition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it was a while back, one of my favorite quotes, reality is what's there when you stop believing. Something along those lines. So we have all these beliefs and assumptions and opinions and philosophies, and when all of that falls away, reality is what's still there, and that's what there's a recognition of. That's what recognizes itself.
Yes. All right. Well, let me try to bring on another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Beth from Mountain View. Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, because I was the first one.
Oh.
So I'm so glad I have a second chance.
And to us, it seems like a first chance.
I know, which is just goes right back to what we're all talking about. So I am so excited because I did the assignment yesterday.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, yeah, concerted effort. I was driving home from work, and I went, oh, right, the assignment. Well, what would it be like if I didn't know how to drive a car?
Ooh.
Now, before anybody kind of thinks that all of a sudden I didn't know what a gas pedal or a brake pedal was, I didn't go there.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
What I did was, if I really, like, this is the first time driving, and it's not like I really channeled, you know, being 15 years old again, but because I think there was all that fear and anxiety about you know, doing it at that age, but it was really just this place of absolute wonder. Like, what happened to me was I dropped into the present so clearly, like the lines on the road, the other cars, the sounds, the feel of the steering wheel, the, you know, the motion of the car. I mean, it was just, amazing.
Glorious.
It truly was glorious, especially for driving a car, because what I loved about the quote was, you know, something that you just routinely do.
Mm-hmm.
And when it first dropped in, well, let's do it driving home. I, you know, of course, conditioning was like, what? You can't do it while you're driving home for all those reasons of safety. But it was, no, let's see what happens if I open myself to not assuming that I know what's going on.
Yes, and isn't it astounding to consider that we would be open to believing a voice that told us being unconscious is safer than being present?
Oh, my God. Well, when you say it like that, how ridiculous.
Yeah. How ridiculous is that? I was talking recently with a police officer who said, actually, it wasn't a police officer. It was somebody equally in the a place of knowing. He was somebody who went to the scene of accidents to take cars.
Mm.
And he said the two things he's watched over the last number of years that's made a difference, because I said, are there more accidents than there used to be? Are they more, you know, that sort of thing? And he said, oh, absolutely. And he said the main thing, two main things, pot has been legalized, and the other is technology.
Yeah.
And so, what? Now, some people could argue that those are at odds, right? That when they're smoking something, they're much more present. I think that really could be argued that it may not necessarily be true. But the technology and being so distracted, having attention on so many things other than the steering wheel, the gas pedal, the brake pedal, the other cars, the lines in the road, that it fits perfectly for conditioned mind and expanded awareness of, I can do all of these things at once.
Yeah, yeah, really being present to all of it happening in that moment. And what I so loved was that omniscient quote of, I mean, you guys said this earlier in the call, but omniscience being knowing everything that needs to be known in that moment. I just,
yes,
I'm recording it and listening to it often.
Yes, yes, because for conditioned mind, that adding other things, the belief that I can do that, that it'll make me more efficient, I can get so much more done if I do two or three things at the same time. And to realize that all that's doing is keeping us present to, if there's a funny phrasing with that, but our attention is on conditioned mind for the information it's giving us.
Yeah.
And it's not, attention is not with where we actually are. It's not present to the body in the space it's inhabiting.
Oh, that what was dropping in when you were saying that was the idea that, not the idea, but it's the ever-expanding faith. Each moment has exactly what's necessary to live that moment. And
yes.
to not jump ahead and to not go back, but to,
yes.
to stay with that and have that faith that is complete.
And the ever-expanding, if we use ever-expanding with faith and with awareness, then what we have a chance to see in what you're saying is to be here is to be at the epicenter of everything.
Yes,
and then awareness expands to include everything. We don't need to leave the present in order to jump around with conditioned mind from thing to thing to thing, attempting to create an illusion that we are conscious of far more than we actually are.
Oh, wow. Wow. Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for...
Thank you.
All.
Safe driving.
Yes!
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Beth. Sure, I'm going to bring another caller in. We have time for one more caller.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob from Minnesota.
Hello, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Hi. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sangha.
Hello.
I really enjoyed practicing with this one. My kind of central practice these days is, as often as I can during the day, remembering that I can be without fear, without worry and anxiety. And so for me, the known and unknown was all the same things that I do every day, but like, what does this feel like if my muscles are relaxed and I'm not anxious and not scared? And wow, I could have been on the moon. It was so different. It's like,
uh-huh.
It was so interesting to watch it and to, I guess one thing that I see is I see conditioning just running around frantically in its control room, hitting all the alarms. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, this mm-hmm. is dangerous. And, you know, you've always done these things when you're tense and nervous. You know, it's like a superstitious thing. Like, well, you know, everything will fall apart if you're not like that. And so some moments it's like just, you know, step-by-step courage. It's like, okay, can I stay relaxed for one more breath, one more step, one more breath, one more step, see what happens. And what happens is just exactly what people have been talking about in this call. It's like you're there in the moment. Everything is fresh. The leaves are great. I'm present to smile at people, encourage them. I was giving a big test today in a class, and so as I relaxed, like every student who came up to turn in their test, I gave them a smile and whispered, you know, good for you, nice job. And it was so much fun to be there in the mm-hmm. present. So it's a real, and I just love these opportunities that we get with these shows and with recording and listening and reflective listening to say the truth out loud because conditioning hates it. But that's the truth.
Oh, it does. It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and Rob, when you lay it out like that, it's just so obvious that the fear, the anxiety, the tension is from being in relationship with that system.
Yes.
That when you're here and relaxed and present, you're not in danger. The only danger that we're ever in is being in relationship with that insane system that is trying to take our lives.
Exactly. No, it's just that the car thing is a perfect example. And it's also, I'm connecting these days what I've learned over the years in Tai Chi, which is, Tai Chi just proves that the more relaxed you are and present, the safer you are. And it's so counterintuitive.
Yes.
Because the body just wants to tense and armor and know. And
well,
I'm really...
it's so counter-conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah, because intuitively we sense it, which
That's
is why
true.
We do Tai Chi.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just like these periods, these sort of flights of courage of like, okay, let me, you know, how long can I stay relaxed and present? And let's see what really happens. And it's what you talk about. It's like it's nothing that can happen in words. It's just proving it to myself in the moment, in the body, that there is no danger to do that.
That's right. That's right. And yes, you really are proving it to yourself, because every time you do this, it's conditioning has this giant armory of
yes.
weapons. It's there in its control room. That's such a great, you know, throwing all the, and every time you step out into the sunshine and you relax your body and you're just there in life, it builds a faith, a confidence in you that stuff is not real. And it's
yes.
losing power. So it's actually, if we could stay with that image, you and life are getting bigger and brighter, and that imaginary system is shrinking and getting darker every time. So it feels like it takes great courage to do it, but you're going to cross a line, and I suspect it's going to be very, very soon, where you realize it doesn't take any courage at all. It takes remembering to do it,
mm-hmm.
but it actually doesn't take courage, because you know, you've proved to yourself that this is where life is, where you're safe, where you're happy, where you feel good, and that other, even if it could make you safe, who wants to be safe in that dungeon?
No, exactly. And as you've been saying that today, it's like there, nobody knows that. Nobody can guarantee that. That's a whole story that doesn't even pay to, you know, even ask that
yes.
question, how to be
yeah.
safe, because we can't. And
what we
can be is we can be super okay with being here and having fun being here. That's what we can do.
That's exactly right. Because the world has been filled with people living small, controlled, frightened lives who get old, who get sick, and who die. And
yes.
as I'm fond of pointing out, we don't always get to do it in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so being small and controlled and frightened only means you're small and controlled and frightened. It does not mean you're safe. Only ego is safe, and we get to decide whether we want to give over our life to making ego safe or whether we'd like to walk out in the sunshine, relax, and smile.
Exactly, yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's as you're talking, I get this image now of these moments where I can look up out of the corner of my eye to that control room and do the na 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 thing.
Right.
The conditioning, in a way. And one of the things that occurred to me yesterday was I had that moment and I said, okay, let's look at your predictions for a second. Let me see. Let me get out my calculator. Well, exactly zero of them came true.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
None of your predictions came true.
Yes, yeah.
So we're
yeah, that's
not
a really important one. Yeah. Which, again, you mentioned it a little bit ago, recording and listening. That is the argument for a recording at the end of the day that says, okay, this is what I've been conditioned to believe. Now, what is actually true about today?
Yep.
And the truth
yep.
is there were smiles and sunshine and relaxation and happiness and gratitude and love and and we want to get those on recording so that when the voices kick in and we're tempted to believe them, we have evidence, we have proof.
Yep. No, that's right. And you know, it can be said that it's exactly those moments that conditioning wants to make us the most scared about. Like, those go fine. Those moments
mm-hmm.
actually, in reality, they go fine.
Yes. Yeah. Don't you love it?
Yep. Yep. Yay.
Thank you, Rob. Yay.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. That conversation reminded me of a T-shirt we had, and I think you wore it to precepts. I don't want to tiptoe through life to arrive safely at death.
That's right. That's right. That's a good one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to tiptoe through life just to arrive safely at death. Yeah.
And here's our assignment. If you think that you know much, you know little. Here's a Zen story that perfectly captures this quote. A wise Zen teacher was walking on the mountain pass with one of his young students. The teacher kept silent while the student spoke the entire time of Zen in the mind. After some distance, the two men reached a giant boulder. The teacher inquired softly of the student, "There's a big stone. Do you consider it to be inside or outside your mind?" The student replied confidently, "In Zen, everything is an objectification of the mind. Therefore, I would say that the stone is certainly within my mind." The teacher smiled. "Your head must be very heavy if you're carrying a rock like that in your mind." The two walked the rest of the way in peaceful silence. Today, practice the peace of knowing little. Each time the heavy weight of what I know arises, turn your attention to what you don't know or have never noticed. Record and listen.
What a fun assignment.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't know or have never noticed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care, everyone.
Go happy.